Okay, Perek Yudal Vayishlach Chiram Melech Tzor Malachim El David. Okay, we start a new section now. Chiram, the king of Tzor, this appears in Sefer Shmuel as well. All of these, many of these stories, the order there is different. Okay, I don't know the significance, but in Sefer Shmuel, the order is a little bit different. Chiram. Okay, so in Sefer Shmuel, the order is not the same as it here. It appears here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the events. Because yesterday we learned about bring of the Aron, the sequence of events, the attempt to bring the Aron from Kiryas Aron to David, and the Ma'aseh of Uzzah and the Melchamos that we have now are not the same in Divrei. The Seder Hadvarim is a little bit different in Shmuel, so that has to be discussed. Maybe at some point in time we'll have something to say about it. But right now, yeah.
When Ezra wrote Divrei Hayom, was there a script of Shmuel, or was it just stories passed on?
No, it seems there was. Shmuel was a formal sefer.
In other words, it was
just like we have today.
Right. In other words, it was a written document that Ezra had.
Yes, yes.
In other words, he did not write the Divrei Hayom from what he heard.
No, definitely not.
Okay, no, I just...
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely an accepted book. He had a text.
He had the text.
Just like what we have.
Okay.
That's what it would seem.
No, that would make a difference for, let's say, there are differences between Divrei Hayom and
right.
If he had the text...
He still made changes, even though he had the text. But when he composed, he put together Divrei Hayamim. He changed the nusach. Obviously, we have all these different examples. There are so many shinuim. The names of the people he pronounced differently, spelled differently.
No, I'm saying that could have happened if he had Shmuel by word of mouth.
Right. No, but it appears he did have Shmuel in a printed form. He had it in the printed form, just like in the manuscript. Not printed, it was no printing then, obviously, but it was in the manuscript. It was actually a text, Saviad, and yet he chose deliberately to describe events differently and to refer to people by different names or different spellings of the name. And the sequence of the events he also chose to present in a different order. And each one of these differences is significant in its own way, which requires an understanding. Okay, but here we have a new story of Chiram el Tzar Malachim. Tzar is Tyre. He sent Malachim and messengers, El David, Va'atze, Arazim. He sent supplies. Because David now is planning to build a base on Midrash, on cedar wood, the Choroshek here, craftsmen, people, carpenters, people who know how to build walls. Walls typically are made from stone, not from wood. The Choroshei Eitzim, and carpenters of wood, craftsmen, Chorosh, the craftsmen of wood, Livnos Loboyi, so again, this is not yet for the Beis HaMikdash, this was to build his palace. So Melech Tzor, Chiram Melech Tzor, was a very great admirer of David. He was obviously a very powerful person, we know from him from other Svarim. And he went and he sent supplies, and he sent messengers, and he sent craftsman to David to help David build for himself a palace now that his malchus has been established. Yeah?
Sorry, that's north.
Tyre, north, right. That's an island, right. The Tyre, that's an island. That's I guess, like...
Lebanon, Syria.
Right, not even... Okay, correct. Now, let's see over here Rashi. Rashi is something very interesting. Yishlach yom melech tzar, mefurish bebreishis rabah, lomut hoyo ho'ish hazelios oiv l'shevet Yehuda l'Yehuda. This person was accustomed from time immemorial to be a supporter, a friend of Shevet Yehuda, not just David. If you look at the Pasuk at face value, the Pasuk refers to David. The Rashi here says it's not really only David. It's David's entire Shevet. He liked the people. He liked the country. That's a whole different interpretation. It's one thing, you like an individual. You're a very great fan of a certain person. The country, the people of the country, you don't care for. You find out a new leader, you have a new candidate, a new political person who enters the arena. So, he's going to be a person that will turn around the country, turn around the city, change the community. I hold from him, I'm going to give him a $1 million donation to his campaign. I want to support him. The people of the city, there's no hope for them. Maybe through this candidate, there'll be hope for the country. That's not what it says here. It says here that Hiram, he liked the Shevet. He liked the entire country. It wasn't just the individual. And L'shev Yehuda Kein Asach Hiram. Now, and then here he said, "Shekein Asach Hiram Ho Adulami LeYehuda." Now, what does Hiram Ho Adulami have to do with Hiram Melech Tzar? So this is an amazing thing. There's something going on over here which it's not at all clear what he means. We know there was another person in Tanakh called Hiram, who Hiram Ho Adulami. This was Yehuda's friend. Remember when Yehuda, after he the Maisa of Tamar and Perech and Zerach, Yehuda separated himself from his brothers. He went far away, and Rashi tells me that seemingly was due to the fallout of Mechiras Yosef. After they sold Yosef, he was responsible for selling Yosef, and Yaakov Avinu never had comfort from hearing about the death, what he thought was the death of Yosef. And obviously in the family there was discord, there was a falling out, and Yehuda left his brothers and he went down and became a friend with this guy called Chira Ho Adulami. Adulami was the name of a place, his name was Chira, and they were very good friends. And that is where the Maisa of Yehuda and Tamar took place. Right? That's where the Maisa of Yehuda and Tamar took place, when he was friends with Chira Ho Adulami. And here the Medrash is coming to compare the person Chiram, or here it says Churam. Here it says Churam to Chira. Now they lived, I don't know the exact numbers, but probably at least more than 1,000 years apart. Right? I mean, we're dealing with here, I don't know, a long time apart. So my inyan zelazeh. So if I'm not mistaken, you wouldn't believe it, there are midrashim that say that they were the same person. Indeed, he did live. I don't know what that means. How can you possibly say such a thing? Something like that. Now, of course,
it's about 700 when it comes.
Which is hard to understand. And also, we know that this person, Chira, he went, he was extremely arrogant. He did supernatural things. He built for himself an island. He built for himself an island with a kisei, with a throne. And in Sefer Yeshaya, there are different stories about him where he did supernatural things. So maybe he had some technology where he was able to preserve his life for an unusual amount of time, perhaps. Or if you want to take the Kabbalistic approach, so I know that's a dangerous thing to go down that path, that their neshamas came from the same stone. They were quarried from the same stone. Gulgulim, Nitzotzos, whatever you want to say, whatever that means, the neshama was recycled. Okay, whatever that means. Because that's what the Medrash is saying. The Medrash is saying that there are direct parallels between Churam, or Chiram, as it said in Shmuel, and this person, Chira Ho Adulami. The common denominator is they were very close with Shevet Yehuda. Chira Ho Adulami was the best friend of Yehuda himself, the person. And in this story, Chiram, the king of Tsar, was a great ally of Shevet Yehuda, specifically David, but here the Medrash says Shevet Yehuda, and he participated in the building of David HaMelech's palace first, and then later to assist Shlomo, David's son, in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. They supplied the craftsmen, the materials, the arazim, all the various things. Okay, so this is only one pasuk, just one pasuk that presents over here with one Rashi, which connects us to Chira Melech Tzar, pasuk Beis. Now we have another very powerful pasuk. Vayeda David. When this happened, when David saw that Churam, Melech Tzar, supplied him, sent messengers and supplied him with all these materials, so David knew ki hechino Hashem lemelech al Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has established him. Hechin means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established him to be a king al Yisrael, to be the melech. Ki niseis lemala malchuso, and now here is very important. His malchus has been elevated very high. It needs to be lifted up. Lemala malchuso ba'avur amo Yisrael. David knew this goes back on the beginning of the pasuk Vayeda. It's nothing personal. He should not attribute his success because I'm a great person. I'm a brilliant person. I'm a Yerushalayim. I am just a tool in the hands of Hashem to give cover to Klal Yisrael. That's an incredibly beautiful Muslim. You have many individuals who are very talented, and their success really comes because Hashem wants to do good to the community. You have a shul, you have a yeshiva, and in the yeshiva you have people that are good people. So Menela, if the people are good, that has a trickle-down effect, or trickle-up effect, that the leader becomes good. And sometimes it works the other way around. You have a very poor community, a poor shul, or a poor yeshiva, you have an incredible leader, the leader has a trickle-down effect, and he builds up the institution. But sometimes, if the institution is great in their own right, and they just need a figurehead, it's a trickle-up effect. The greatness of the people elevates the leader. And that's what David here is saying. David is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bavur amo Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is great in their own right. They don't need me. Klal Yisrael are the children of the Avos. They don't need me. And the reason why I am successful is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give success to his nation. And a nation needs a king. So I'm just a figure. David here, in his extreme humility, is not taking credit for himself. Very powerful idea. I remember a Hasidus Shemaisa. There was a certain Rebbe. He said, "Daven a very, very long Shemona Esrei." He had very good Hasidim. They tolerated it. He would daven a very what? Whatever they did. And the Hasidim, they all know the Hasidim traditionally go to work. They're not.
It's timeless.
They're not like the Litvaks. They're not into Koilal. Hasidim, they go 18 years old, they're already working. They're different. Today it's really different. What? Out to work, right. Today it's really different. Today the Hasidim have become like the Litvaks. The Hasidim is a different world. But traditionally, the Hasidim go to work. They're not into Koilal. But the point is, I might remember this story, made an impression on me. It brings out a very important point. There was a Rebbe, and the Rebbe davened a very, very long Shemona Esrei. And the Hasidim with Tzadikim, they tolerated his behavior, and they waited. They davened Shemona Esrei, they sat there, and they waited until it took an hour. So one day the Hasidim sighed, it was Shabbos, you know, what do we have to go? I waited the whole day. We'll go home, we'll daven the Shemona Esrei, and we'll eat. We'll have a Suda Shabbos. We'll have a Suda Shabbos, and we'll come back. And he won't even know the difference. He won't know the difference.
So
they came back, and the Rebbe finished. And the Rebbe said, "I'm waiting for you, ready for an hour." An hour? Maybe you're waiting for us for 5 minutes, an hour? So he said, "Oh." So he said, "You don't understand. My whole Koyach HaTzvilah is you. You, because I'm a spalo. Who am I a spalo for? Myself? No, I'm a spell for myself. I'm a spell for you. And it's not just that. Also, you want me to be mispalo, to be your leader, and to be mispalo on your behalf. But if you're not here, I have no siyata d'shmaya. My koyach, again, it's a chassid shemaisa. My koyach, my rebbe koyach dissipates.
No recipients.
Dissipates. Because the koyach of a leader is drawn from his people. This is a mitzis. If you have a Rebbe that gives a good shiur, like, "Mivtal midai, yoyser mikulam." Why? Why? Because you have to explain. Just because you have to. When you speak out, you become better. That's true also. But it's more than that. There's something that's spiritual. That if the Talmidim want to hear, they're interested in learning Torah, the Rebbe has siyata d'shmaya in being able to give over good Torah to teach well. And unfortunately, if you have the situation, many times the leader doesn't recognize that his success is only coming due to his students and due to his followers. David HaMelech had the chokhmah, the insight, had the humility to recognize that my success is not because of me, it's only because I have loyal followers who are interested and want me to lead. It's a very beautiful pasuk, a very beautiful, powerful idea. Yeah?
Is pasuk beis directly tied to Aleph? In other words,
Yes. At least according to the Rashi.
North sends him building supplies.
Yes, that's what Rashi says. Look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk beis. Vayeda David ki hechinu Hashem Melech kishuro shasholchuloi malchei amim tishuros. When the nations of the world sent him gifts, who are we referring to? The only nation that's mentioned above is Tsar. It's Huram. Yes. When he saw that Hashem put a machshav in the mind of Huram Melech Tsar to send David supplies, to send him craftsmen, and to recognize, David recognized that Hashem, that this is l'mala miderech hateva. There is siyata d'shmaya, and David recognized it's not because they view me to be a very, like, today in American politics, like there are many people, oh, this person, he's a good man, I believe in the person, I believe in the candidate. I believe in the candidate, and therefore I'm going to give $1 billion donation, or have $1 million donation for his campaign. That's not what's happening here. It's not that Chura Melech Tzar believed in David. He believed in Klal Yisrael. And that's why he assisted David. And David recognized that it's not me, it's Klal Yisrael. That's what it's saying over here. Let's look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Aleph Beis. V'yatzei Arazim, v'yod matzei Arazim, v'charushei, v'gam shloch loy, umnim, haboinim, kir avonim, b'nyin etzim. He sent them also builders, and of kir avonim, b'nyin etzim, people who knew how to build walls of stone and construct things from wood. Pasuk Beis, Vayeda David in the Mitzudos, Bema Sheim Lo Yodu Sheam Lo Yodu Yavduhu. This is a Pasuk Yeshaya, that a nation that you'd never heard of will serve you. This was a token fulfillment of what will be Yemos HaMashiach. I believe it says this in Yeshaya, that a nation that you never heard of, you Lo Yodu, you never heard of this nation, and all of a sudden they show up at your front door, we want to be your servants, we want to give you gifts. That's what's going to happen in the time of Mashiach. A token of this is being fulfilled right now when David HaMelech becomes king. A nation that seemingly he has nothing to do with, Tzor is up in the north, it's not part of Klal Yisrael, all of a sudden Churam hears about David, he's sending him gifts. Am lo yodu ya'avdu yoda hinu shehashem hichinu lemelech, he has established him as king. Ba'avur amo, now this is very beautiful words of the Mitzudos, Ratzulemar, gam yoda, David was wise to know, Asher ba'avur Yisrael, this is nothing personal, it's only because of Klal Yisrael, Niseis malchuso lemala, his malchus has been raised upwards, v'loitolo hadavar be'atzma. He did not attribute this to his personal success. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Gimel. Vayikach David oid noshim b'Yerushalayim. David now, when after he became king, this one goes back to the beginning of Sefer Devarim, when David became king over the entire Klal Yisrael, when he moved from Hebron to the capital Yerushalayim, he took for himself more wives. He married more wives. Now it's hard for us to relate to this in modern times, but in ancient times, this was a sign of greatness. That when you move up, you also, to show your strength, you acquire, you be more wives. Okay, again, it's something that is impossible for us to relate to what it's doing. Look at, just look at Rashi, right away, look at Rashi. Vayikach David, Pasuk Gimel, Rashi, Vayikach David, V'chol Zeh, this event of taking more wives, Choskoi Shel David, represents the strength of David. Again, we cannot possibly relate to the times.
Isn't that what Absalom did when the first
time? He took his concubine, he took his Palaksha. He took his Palaksha, he didn't take his wives, but the Palaksha, because the Palaksha were not married. There's no, okay, whatever that means, and they were violated, right? So that's also a sign that I am now the new Melech. That was a very great sin. Pasuk Gimel, one more time, Vayikach David oid nashim b'Yerushalayim, vayolid David oid banim banas, and therefore through these wives he also had more children. Now we have a list of the new children. Ve'eile shmois hayiludim, these are the names of the children. Notice hayiludim does not say, it's a very unusual word for child. You don't call your children the yiludim. You call them your banim. Your banim. But it says here hayiludim asher hayulo b'Yerushalayim. So we have a whole list of them. Now these names are not exactly, we're not going in chronological order, because Shlomo was the oldest, and also the names here are not the same way they appear. Yes.
But he was only 12 years old when this...
Shlomo, well, from this list, he was the... From this list, okay, it doesn't mean that he had Shlomo immediately. He came to Yerushalayim at a later point in time. He got... Okay, I don't know, you're right, yes, a good point. How old was he and how...
Because he had children way before.
Yeah, before. Right. I don't know the details. Okay. I don't know the details, but you are. You have to put everything in the context of when exactly he had the children. Here he came to Shlomo, took more wives. But among the list of children here, if you'll match it up with what it says in the beginning of Divrei Hayamim and what it says in Sefer Shmuel, you will discover that it's not in chronological order. It's in a different order, and also the names are not pronounced, they're not spelled the same way that we are familiar with. They're slightly different. Obviously, Ezra had something in mind by pronouncing their names differently and giving the order their order differently, probably because they were known for certain things and he wanted to impress upon the people, upon Klal Yisrael, a certain hashkafa or certain to motivate them. Again, we always go back to this old Yisod. Divrei Hayam was written as a form of motivation for the people in Galus to come back to Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash and bring Mashiach. It's a motivational sefer, right? You buy these books online. They have always advertising on the radio to buy these books and tapes to give you motivation to do things. That's what Divrei Hayamim is. We're going to review history from a different perspective and extract events which we can use as a source of motivation to bring Melech HaMashiach at the time when the Sefer was being written. So here are the names. Number one, we have Shamua, Vishayvav, Nasan, Ushlomo. Okay, four sons. Pasuk Hey, V'Yivchar, V'Elishua, V'El Polet. Pasuk Vav, V'Noga, V'Nefeg, V'Yofia. Pasuk Zayin, V'Elishama, U'V'El Yoda, V'Eli Folet.
So is that
Elifolet? Let's look at the mitzvahs. Right? Look at the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs notices that these are not the same names. Look at them. This is Pasek Dalet, Shamua, Hu Shimo. Different name. Hu Shimo Hamo B'lamala, in the beginning of the Sefer. The Lechashim Kseda told us some. We did not list them according to their order of birth. Ki Shlomo Haya Rishai. Harishai. He was the first from this list. The Elishua, Hu Elishama. Ha'amor l'mala, uval yoda, hu el yoda ha'amor l'mala. Okay, so different. They're being the names. Doesn't I don't know the significance. I'm sure, like we said, we had the daf yomi right about 2 weeks ago. How many camels worth of midrashim? On I've got the exact numbers. Camels and camels packed, keeping with svarim midrashim, telling us the significance of why the spelling and the pronunciation of different words was different than it is. There are nuances which or have a lot to teach us. But a lot of that has been lost from us. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Ches. Now we describe a new event. Now this the Rashi really it's a lot going on here. Vayishmu Philistim. Now that David has become Melech over the entire Klal Yisrael, David now has a challenge. The Pelishtim, who were the arch enemies of the Jewish people and trying to conquer the land, they were not happy with David's appointment over Klal Yisrael. They heard, Ki nimshach David lemelech, he was anointed al kol Yisrael, vayalu kol Pelishtim levakesh es David. So all of the Pelishtim, you know, enemies, all the Arabs, we know this today, all the Arabs, they hate each other. They're not on speaking terms. They're all different nations: Saudi Arabia and Syria and Iran and Iraq. The Sunnis, the Shiites, they can't agree on anything. They hate each other. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael, oh, Achdus Kish Echad Belev Echad, unbelievable! It's Noda V'Oyim. You have to read. Go online and do some research on this. There are a lot of articles out. They hate each other. Like you see what goes on in Iraq. The Sunnis and the Shiites, and that's just one, two groups. The Saudi Arabian, the Arabs in Saudi Arabia, no shaykhs to the. They don't want to know from them. The Palestinians also, they hate them. That if they really, the Palestinians, they don't do nothing for them. They don't want to. And go on about the different families and sections. But they're all united in their hatred for Klal Yisrael. Same thing over here. The Pelishtim, we have a right to assume, they're good for nothings, a bunch of hilarious. They have nothing to do with each other. We have a right to assume that. But now, when it comes to David, oh, here it says, look what it says, Achdus among all the Pelishtim. Vayalu chol Pelishtim. Remember, there are Sarnei Pelishtim. They are different leaders, different groups, different sections. All of a sudden, ki shechad b'leiv echad, to come levakesh es David, to seek out David. This is a very unusual word. They're coming here to wage war. They're coming here to wage war, and yet, that's from the context, it's clear as day, and yet we're using the word levakesh. Bikesh is normally an expression that means to be your friend, to come close. And what basically this is Esav. Esav kissed Yaakov. There are two ways we'll sit together, diplomacy. We'll sit together in the United Nations and we'll be very good and we'll talk. We'll do you in exactly. So there's different types of warfare. There's a deceitful type of diplomacy, a warfare that's done through diplomacy, war that's done... What?
By your reyu or son of Hamitzrim.
It will good by you. Be good to you.
Make like we're friends.
Make me like your friends, and when that doesn't work, then we'll stab you in the back. That's exactly what's happening over here. Yeah.
You start out with a smile.
Exactly.
The smile doesn't. Levakesh. You use the sword.
How are you doing today? Come into the house. Let's. And when things don't go well, then we see we're going to have war. So that's something which has to be taken note of. Levakesh es David. Vayishma David. David heard what was going on. Vayetze lifnehem. David knew what they were trying to do. So David right away he went out to war. Let's skip the diplomacy. Let's send out the missiles. Let's attack. Pasuk test with Flishtim Bahu. So when David they saw that diplomacy is not working, there's going to be a war. So with Flishtim Bahu, Vayifshitu be'emek Rephaim. So they attacked. A preemptive strike. When David went out towards them, there's a lot going on here. You have to read the words very carefully. You know, there's a whole history. You know, each word here is a whole book, it's because first Vavakesh and then Vayishma. And then Vayetze, and who's making the first attack? Who's launching the first missile? The Plishtim, it says. Uflishtim bova yifshitu. They are conquering. They're conquering.
What is
Vayifshitu? To spread out, to break forth, to be poishet, to extend forward, to like annex, to conquer, to overrun. Vayifshitu, and they went and they spread out in Be'emek, the valley of Rephaim. So now David, what did David do? How did David respond to this preemptive strike? Vayishal David be'elokim lemar. He was shelling the Urim v'tumim. He asked Hashem to Urim v'tumim, ha'e'ele al plishtim, al filishtim. Unisatom biyadi. Should I attack? Should I make a count? Should I strike? Like only today, you know, today what's going on in Syria? Big dilemma. Should the United States go in? Should Israel strike? No one knows what to do. No one knows what to do. It's a very big mystery. Here, David. Good morning. David had a tremendous advantage of asking directly from Hashem through the Urim v'Tumim. Vayoyim Eloi Hashem alei. Ascend, attack. Unisatim biyodecha, and I give you a haftacha, I will deliver them in your hands. Pasuk Yudalef, Ayalu Bival Pirotzim. So the battle took place in this place called the Baal Pirotzim. Now this was called Al Shem Ha'asit, because we know originally this was called the Emek Rephaim. So we're now referring to, we'll see in one moment, when David succeeded, he renamed this place called Baal Pirotzim. So we're calling this Al Shem Ha'asit. Vayakem Shem David, he wiped them out. Vayomer David said, Paratz Olakem Es Oivai, Biyadi Hashem has Paratz, Hashem has put forth his hand. He has broken forth. Paratz means to break forth. Olakem Es Oivai, Biyadi, my enemies in my hand, he has allowed me to break forth and conquer them. Kiferetz Moim. Now this is a mashal. Probably a lot of mafarshim, I don't know, I didn't see too much, I didn't get a chance to look around too much, but he's giving a mashal that the success in battle is compared to a feretz of Moim, a flash flood, according to the Mitzudos. Rash doesn't say that. We'll see, we'll read the words very carefully in a moment. But it's something to take note of. The success in battle is equivalent, the metaphor is a feretz moim, a breaking forth of water. Al kain karu shem hamakom ahu baal pirotzim. Pasik yud beis, and we'll read it around. Vayaz v'sham es Elohehem. That is chol. The enemy abandoned their idols. When David succeeded in conquering the Plishtim, they fled. They fled in such haste that they just left their idols in the street. This, you have this in Yeshaya, when they describe as various battles, when they go out to war, the enemy, they take out to war their idols, their Avodah Zarah. And they have faith that their Avodah Zarah is what's going to help them in war. Study the Crusades. One of the very important battles of the Crusades is where these Meshugayim, they went to a certain church and they think they found one of the the weapon or spear of Yashka. There's a whole story, there's a very famous story in one of the battles of the Crusades. They found this spear, and they spent days digging up a certain church, and they found a piece of metal holding some shagas, and they convinced themselves that this is the sword of Yashka. And they took it out to war against the Muslims, and it was like the Avodah Zarah, and they believed it was the koyach of the Avodah Zarah that gave them success in war. This happened. This is taken from going back ancient times. Same thing. They went out to war with the Zarah, and here they were defeated. So if you were defeated, so you think you at least you would take back your Avodah Zarah with you. You spend so much effort, so much time convincing yourself that this Avodah Zarah is going to save you. No, they were so humiliated in battle, they just abandoned the Avodah Zarah in the street. And that's what Rav Yehuda says. Vayazvu sham, the defeat was so humiliating, they abandoned Es Eloheihem. Vayomer David. And David said, David gave the command, what should we do now? When they left over the Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah was worth a fortune. It was worth millions. It was gold and silver, all of the idols that were lying. So the people came to David said, can we take the metal? Can we melt it down? And we'll have Parnassa for a long period of time. David said, no, it's Asur Behana. It was a very great nesayin. Mammon is always a big nesayin. Find $5 on the street, it's also a nesayin. So Mammon is a big nesayin. Here we're dealing with billions of dollars of Avodah Zarah. David gave the command and said, "Vayisorfu bo'esh." It must be destroyed because it is Osir Behana. It is Avodah Zarah. Now there's a medrash. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Dalet. Takes note that if you look in Sefer Shmuel, there it says that David said, it says Vayis So'em, the people carried it away. They took it home with them. They took the Avodah Zarah, they put it in their pockets, and they became very wealthy. So the Gemara notes, there's a stirah and divrei hayam, it says David has to be burnt. In Sefer Shmuel it says they took it home with them. And the Gemara answers, originally David said it has to be destroyed because this is a halacha concept. This is Masechta Avodah Zarah. The only one that has the power to be mevatel Avodah Zarah is a non-Jew. A Yisrael who comes in contact with Avodah Zarah has no possibility, no ability to remove the status of an idol so that it can become mutar behana. But if a non-Jew who originally owned it and comes along and says, hey, you're worthless, you're a piece of garbage, you were not able to assist him, and he takes the idol and he throws it on the floor, then the idol loses its status as an idol. It's now mutar behana and finders keepers. And now when the Jew finds it, he can go and he can take it. So here the Gemara says the story was, they came to David, they told David, we found here idols, gold, silver, it's worth a fortune, can we take it home with us? David said, I'm sorry, it's asur behana, you have to burn it. As they were about to burn it, or it could be they already started burning, shows up a guy. His name was Get. In Sefer Shmuel. His name is Itai Hagiti from Gas. He was a guy. Itai Hagiti, he was a guy. And Itai Hagiti, I don't know how this ceremony works, he made a declaration that all of this Avodah Zarah is worthless because it was not able to save us in battle. He was mevatelet. And then David said, oh, now that the guy was mevatel, you can take it home. By Yisoim, you can pick it, take it in your pockets, and you can take it home. Yeah. Anything.
Because what they generally, according to the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, basically, when I went through a museum, and they had said, I was listening to what those said, guy, they were talking about all these statues that have the nose chipped off.
Right.
They said the reason that the nose was chipped off,
the bitl of Avodah Zarah,
since the nose protrudes from the body the most, is so when it got chipped through the ears, the nose, since it stuck out, was more likely to get chipped off. So I explained to one of them that was the way, it's explained that's the way the Mubadal of Avodah Zarah. I mean, I said it the way they would understand it, and they thought it was very interesting. And they said that made a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
The statues always had the nose chipped off.
It just can't be that it sticks out.
Comes from the way they were
interesting.
That's what the Gemara said.
Yeah, very
so
interesting.
The Gemara says if they sell it, that's approved.
To also, right, they're
well,
different areas.
In the Catskills, you had a few bungalow families that had statues of Yashka in front of the bungalow, Kali, because they didn't touch it, because they were afraid, you know, they knew they're not allowed to touch it. It was there for many years. Only a few years ago when I came back, I saw by one bungalow, Kali, the statue was gone. So I was thinking, they got, somebody said, oh, it's gone. I said, they must have got a shagas to
take it away.
Take it away. It was a Hasidish bungalow, Kali. There were two of them on Kayak.
And they still left, let it stay there.
They
let it
there.
Stay for years.
But now, it was there several years. It was a Hasidish bungalow. Hasidish. And they had the statue there.
Kanoyan.
I had a picture of the Virgin Mary.
Okay, let's look at the Rashi's. Yes, the very important Rashi's. Rashi Pasik Ches. Okay, this is a very important Rashi. Rashi Pasik Ches. Vayishmu Plishtim Kinim Shachdav Vlemelech Al Kol Yishol Vayalu Kol Plishtim Lefish Plishtim Hayu Moishlam Kol Yom Ad Shabo Shol Vdavid. Who controlled the land? The land was controlled by the Plishtim until Shaul and David arrived on the scene. Kidosiv b'Shimshon. We have to use three examples. Vayomer l'Shimshon haloyedate ki Moishlam banu Plishtim. Don't you know that the Plishtim this time the Shoftim, the Plishtim are in control? You have to behave yourself. Don't go make trouble because the Plishtim they are the land. They're in control. V'chein another passing Shmuel hischasku. V'hayu la'noshim Plishtim. The Plishtim are saying to themselves, strengthen yourselves and be part of the Plishtim, because if we pen to Avdu la'ivrim, because if we're going to weaken our resolve to fight against the Jews, we'll be slaves to them, just like they were once slaves to us. Kasher Avdu lachem, like they were slaves to you. So we see from this pasuk directly that since time immemorial, the Plishtim were dominant; they ruled the land. V'chein l'mala b'parsha zo. Later on in this parish, it says, "Vayiru kol ishi shol v'goymer v'yaz zorein v'inusu v'yivu plishtim v'yishu b'chem." And then we have later on also that when the Jews ran away, when there was a battle and the Bnei Yisrael fled, who took over the land? The Plishtim. Okay, it's very simple. We know this over and over, that the ones that were in control of the land during this time were the Plishtim. So now Rashi explains what is the significance of this pasuk with our background in mind. But Oyson Zayin Shanim Shemolach David Bechevon Levad Lo Omru Davar V'Lecha Shashu. They didn't bother them. When David was Melech for 7 years in Hebron, it was not even on their radar screen that we have to be concerned with this guy, David. They know in their strategy room, in their war room, the Plishtim saying, "Who do we have to? Who do we go to battle? Hebron, it's a little teeny shtetl, and there's a mayor. His name is David. We don't have to worry about David. David's not on our agenda." Al Shemolach David, Al Chevron ki Amru Molanu. What's the big deal? This one person, it's not worth the effort to deal with him. Molanu Shema Nitziv. He's just a Nitziv, an officer. By Sar Manuhu LeDavid. They appointed David as a prince, Al Chevron. But he's not a major player that we have to take into consideration. We have to be concerned with. Aval, but now at this point in time in history, when David's malchus extended to the entire Klal Yisrael, not just Chevron, but the entire Klal Yisrael, Aval kishnim shach lemelech al kol Yisrael, oz olu kol haplishtim. Now the things change. All the plishtim came levakesh as David shleiratzu sheyehei melech b'Yisrael. They did not want there should be a king in Yisrael. Ela she'oid heim yu moshem aleim. But they wanted to continue the status quo where the plishtim would be the leaders and the rulers of the land. So now when David became melech on Tarim Klal Yisrael, now it became an issue. Who is this David? And we have to eliminate him as soon as possible. Okay, next Rashi. So what did David do? When David became levakesh, they came to seek him out. David was Shoyel b'Hashem. How was he Shoyel b'Hashem? Al yidei Urim v'Tumim. This was the form of communication in ancient times. Urim v'Tumim is how you spoke to Hashem. Pasuk Yud-Aleph, Vayalu b'Bal Paratzim, Shenikra Achrei came Bal Paratzim. So here David went to battle in a place called Bal Paratzim. So Rashi explains that at the time of the battle, it was not yet called Bal Paratzim, because he did not yet do anything yet. Shnikra Zeh me'al zeh. It's been called al shem ha'osid, that Hashem would eventually, that would allow David to break forth and conquer the people there in this location. Keperetz ma'im. So here, what is this metaphor? That the success that David had in conquering this place was like a peretz ma'im. Rashi, kegale ma'im shenifrotzim mimikoymom v'noiflim l'makom acher. That's all Rashi says. A wave. That's all Rashi says. Like a wave, part of the sea, it comes out of nowhere and goes from one location and goes over to the other location. David came from one, from where he was. He overcame them to a different location, broke forth, and conquered them. Okay, Rashi doesn't. It's not really clear the metaphor. A gale mayim, a wave of water which breaks forth from its source and crashes in another location. We'll see the mitzvahs in a few moments. He says something a little bit more. Okay, let's see. Rather, let's see the mitzvahs. These pesukim. We'll see a little bit more explanation. Different interpretation. Pasuk yud aleph. Pasuk ches. Kol polishtim. Al kiyodu migvuraso lezeolu kulam levakshu ulihi lochem bo. So the mitzvahs right away doesn't make any metaphors or any, he right away gets to the point. The reason why all of the Plishtim had to come was because they knew they were dealing with a very mighty person. They heard about David's powers, and therefore they realized the only way they can succeed is if they join forces to attack David. When it says Levakesh, the Mitzvah says, gets right to the point. Levakesh means to wage war. Okay, no diplomacy. Levakshoy ulihilochim bapasik yud aleph. David went to one place called Baal Peratzim, who emek refoim. This is the same place mentioned by emek refoim. V'yemal shem soifoy shenikru Baal Peratzim. We're referring to the al shem soif. Pasik peretzman. Now here we'll hear a little new interpretation of the mitzudos. He adds a new understanding. Rotzeloimar pisoim, sudden flash flood. Okay, doesn't say that in Rashi. The way the Mitzvah explains the metaphor of Peretz Mayim is suddenness, right?
It's a surge.
What did Hitler Yimach Shema Blitz? What he called it?
Blitzkrieg.
That was a technique of suddenness. You come in with
lightning, blitzkrieg.
You come in. So where did he get it from? He got it from David. Well, that's what America calls, that's a technique in war. Many people study World War II, they attribute that as unique to Hitler, Yimach Shemo, this technique of how he would invade territories. You come in with swift. So that's exactly what it says here, Peretz Mayim. This is an old technique. This is not nothing new. It's not a new chiddush. The Germans invented. This is an old technique that it says Peretz Mayim. David, in fact, he named the place of his victory after this technique in battle. Peretz Mayim. Ratzlema pisoim kimayim shaitfim partsim getting, which mayim, a flash flood, a very forceful amount of water can break down even a fence. Okay, now we go to the next section. Pasik yud gimel. Now this is very important. So they were defeated. Okay, the Plishtim were defeated. They lost the battle, but they did not lose the war. And now they're coming to make a. They're coming back for a second rounds. Vayosifu od Plishtim vayivshetu boemek. They spread out in the valley. Okay, wherever we are, for emek we fought in. Now we have a new place called the emek. Doesn't say exactly what this place is. Whatever, another place. Pasik yudal. So now David, just like David previously, he went and he asked Hashem, he asked to the Urim v'tumim, should I go and fight? And Hashem said, yes, go and fight and you will succeed. I give you a promise that I will deliver your enemy in your hand. David assumed the same thing would happen now. Here is something very surprisingly. This time Hashem told him, do not ascend, do not attack. However, there was, do not attack them from the front. I want you to attack them from a very specific location, from this area, Uvosolohem Mimul Habichoim, name of a place. opposite bichaim, or it's a certain type of tree, a mulberry tree. If you look over here in Pasuk, in Mitzvah Sin, Pasuk Yedalid, ha bichaim, it's heim ilonei tusim. Tusim is mulberry, if I'm mistaken.
Tree forest.
A certain type of tusim. Tusim is mulberry, right? I think that's what it is. What? A certain type of tree. Which is the name of a place? I want you to take a roundabout way to attack them. Don't attack them from the obvious point of entry. Ambush, right? But well, it wasn't obvious. David was surprised. We'll see them in a few moments. If you go speak to you go to West Point and you speak to the top people in military strategy, they'll tell you, what? Why in the world would David want to go in this roundabout way to this place called Emek Mul HaBechoyim? The proper and the most logical place to attack would be what David was planning to do. What's going on here? Hashem says, no, this is what I want. I want you to attack from Mul HaBechoyim. Pasik Tezvav. And Hashem tells him exactly when to attack. Vihi. It will be. Kishom acha eskol hatzeoda. When you hear them moving about, when you hear they're taking footsteps, tzeoda means to take strides. Veroshei habichoim at the edge of this place called bichoim. Oz teitze vamilchama. Then you shall go forth in war. Ki yotza, because you will know that at that point in time. And here is a very interesting concept of the malachim, the angels. Hashem sends angels to fight on your behalf, because at that point in time, ki yotza hu elokim lefonecha, Hashem will send, goes out before you. And the Rambam Mitzvah says that the malach will go, who represents Hashem, will go before you, lahakois es machane filishtim, to wipe out the camp of the filishtim. Vayas David kasher tzivo hu elokim, vayak es machane filishtim, mi give oin, from the place of givon, the Ad Gozera. And then with this success, Vayetse Shem David B'chol Ho'aratzos. David's name went out through the entire land. David had a reputation par excellence. David's name was Mefursim throughout the entire world. Yashem Nostan is Pachto Al Kol Hagoyim. Unbelievable. David's Pachat. They were terrified. When they heard the name David, right away his name evoked Pachat. Let's see what's going on here in the Mitzugos. First, the Mitzugos. A lot of things. Pasuk Yudalit. Le'sale achareihem. Rotzulaymar. This means to say, Lo telech b'derech hamiyuman. Do not go out in the miyuman, means in the proper path.
In the assigned.
In the assigned, what is expected. All of your military advisors would tell you to do the following. Hashem says, I'm telling you not to do that. Ach, instead, Hosev mehem uleches derech akalosan, in a roundabout way, v'tavo alehem mul ilonei habichoyim, opposite the trees of the bichoyim, asher gogushom, which grow there. Go where the trees are. It will be kishomacha, kasher tishma kol tzeoda, oz tilcham, then you shall go to battle. Ki oz yetzei golokim lefonech. What does that mean? Hashem will go before you. What's a limar? Oz sholach malocho. Remember, Hashem sends his angels sometimes to fight our battles. Lahakois bohem. Now, here, the Mitzudos is in parentheses what Rashi says out very clearly, but let's see how the Mitzudos describes it. V'im she'in matzo l'Hashem l'Hoshia. Why did Hashem need to do this? If Hashem is fighting the battles, Hashem can do whatever He wants. Hashem can fight in a more direct way. Although, she'in matzo l'Hashem l'Hoshia mibli tachbulois hasivuv, Hashem can go to war. There's nothing holding back Hashem from succeeding in battle in roundabout ways, without coming on to roundabout ways. And Hashem doesn't need to wait. Why didn't Hashem allow David to succeed immediately? Why did Hashem tell David to wait? Two things. There are two tests happening. Number one, to wait. The time is not right. Number two, the location is not the right location. Mikol Mokom Omar Cain. Here are powerful words. Le Nasoisoi. Hashem is testing David. Hayishma Mitzvoisov. Bidvar Hamulchama. O Yokel Be'enot. Will be light in David's eye. I don't need Hashem. Koichi ve'itzem yadi osliyas achayel hazeh. I'll do whatever I want. Kasher hakal bohem hahekel bohem Shaul. What was Shaul's chait? Shaul did not wait for Shmuel to return. Shmuel said to him, "I don't want you to bring the carbon until 7 days have passed." And Shaul, 7 days passed, but until I returned, and Shaul was waiting patiently for Shmuel to arrive, and Shaul told the people to gather, and they knew, bring the carbon. Shaul said, we have to wait. And they said, Shaul, if you don't offer the carbon now, we're leaving you. We have to go back to our home, our family, our wives are waiting. And they put so much pressure on Shaul that he violated the words of Shmuel and he offered the carbon before Shmuel returned. And because of that, Shmuel said to him, you're going to lose your malchus. You have committed a very great transgression. I told you what to do. I was a test to see if you're going to stand up to the word of Hashem against the pressure of the people. I see you failed. You're weak. You're a weak leader. You go and you succumb to the pressure of the people. And that was one failure. Other failure, in the war. Hashem told him, wipe out the men, women, children, and even the animals. Shaul did not listen. He did not wipe out the king, Agag. He did not wipe out the animals, and the women and children. And therefore, he was punished. He lost his malchus. So Shaul failed because he followed his own understanding of things, and he did not humble himself to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he did not understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Here Hashem is testing David to see if he will listen, and David here in the very beginning of his malchus succeeded. Now this is an amazing thing, because this is the very beginning of David's malchus, and David immediately is tested, just like Shaul was immediately tested in the beginning of his malchus. Shaul failed and David succeeded. Let's see, Rashi says same as let's finish up the Rashi's first. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah. Let's see, Rashi says come out the same thing. Rashi pasuk yudalit hasev me'alehem. Now here Rashi is a beautiful Mishnah, beautiful words. Amra midas hadid l'fnei ha'makom. The midas hadid, which means that the satan ribayna shalaylam lama havarta eshal l'fnei David. It's not fair. You have a new melech. David, what was wrong with Shaul? Amar lo, so Hashem said to the midas hadin, to the satan, al shaloi himtin l'shmuel shivas yamim. He failed in his sayon. Shmuel Hanavi told Shaul when he anointed him not to offer the carbon until 7 days passed, and he did not wait 7 days. He offered it short of the time, point of period, kasher tzivahu. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anasa ato es David. You know what? I'm going to test David. Maybe you're right. Maybe Satan, you're right. Let me test David. And I told David, it's in your mind, it's obvious to why finish off the Pelishtim by going forward. And now, no, don't, let's wait. And don't go forward, go backwards. Go to the side where the trees are. Ata el David, ha-chaseid me'aleim, v'chol zeh shomar David. David succeeded in the test. Pasuk Beis. That concludes. Now there's a very beautiful measure. What does it mean if I say Shem Dav B'Chalor Hatzos? David's name went out to the entire world. So this is a very interesting idea. When your name goes forward, it means they mint coins in your honor. Can you imagine if we had a coin? We had this coin today, it would be priceless. Okay, the earliest coins we have are not so long ago, relatively speaking. What are they, 2,000 years ago? But how far back the oldest coins that we had, they have in the museums? 2,000 years.
Yeah.
But so this goes back more. This goes back almost probably, I don't know, further back, whatever it is. Let's see. Let me read you the words of the...
This is close to
3,000 years. They don't have such coins. Maybe they do, yeah. But this, look, let me read you the Medrash. The Medrash says, Vayetze Shem David b'chol haratzos. How do you know you made it? How do you know you made it? If your picture appears on the dollar bill, George Washington made it. His picture is on the dollar bill. So if the kate said yatsa shvaboy lam ella yatsa loy monitin. I said, what does it mean monitin? It means a matbea. That's a fancy word for a coin. Mint, yeah. Okay, very good. Minted coins. Matbea. Very good. Matbea. What was the coin? So look at this. Mehoya. Chokuk al monitin. What was shalom? What was embossed onto the coin? Makel vitarmil mikan. A staff and a knapsack on one side. And on the other side was a migdal. What's the makel? Remesh shahoye batchila royei tzayin. David's star, humble beginnings.
A shepherd
with a staff and a knapsack. V'hoye l'makel v'sarmel. Umigdol mikan. On the other side was a fortress to represent the power, the might of David. Al shem kemigdal David tzavarech. So that's a very interesting idea. The humble beginnings, I think this was a foreign concept in ancient times, because in ancient times, you were born as a gibor. Goliath was born holding a sword. And Nimrod was a soldier from day one. It was a foreign concept to the goyim that you can start out humble beginning. You can start out as a shepherd and you can become the king of the king. It's not America. In America, right? You work hard.
Humble beginning.
You work hard, you can become the president of the United States. Right? This concept was not understood in ancient times. No such thing. You work hard. You either got it or you don't. You're either born into it or you're not born into it. This was a new concept. It was a chiddush in the world. That a person can start out as a shepherd and can become the melech and the whole world sitters. There's a pachad. Hashem nosan pachtei al kol hagoyim. This was unheard of. This was unique. And he made it big in the minted court going out to the entire world. Okay? That concludes Perek Yud Dalet. Yes.
Who was the caretaker of the Urim and Thummim?